Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily, and we are live with you here. Glad to be with you on this Monday after championship weekend on KFH. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected on Facebook, YouTube X, leaving us your comments there. We appreciate it. You can also leave us voice messages through the Odyssey app. Lots of different and fun ways to get in touch with the program. Glad to have you here with us. We're talking, you know, the Chiefs headed to another Super Bowl. We'll get into the NFC Championship later in this hour. We will get into a little bit of baseball talk with Jalen Thompson for his weekly visit as well a little bit later in this hour. Glad to have you here with us. Tommy, it is wild. You brought up Brady, and I think it's, you know, we're going to have Brady on the call of the Super Bowl. This is all really, really fascinating stuff that these two guys have gone back to back, and the similarities between them in, you know, in the way that we... Brady did it in so many different ways with so many different rosters, two generations of it, essentially. Mahomes is on a heater now like Brady was late in his career. I don't know, like, it feels like Mahomes is always there. Brady was always, he went a 7-year stretch where they were in the Super Bowl five times, right? They won three of them. He did it when he was the big offensive juggernaut type statistical quarterback that he was early in his career. He didn't really play that way. They didn't really need him to play that way. Like the ability to just sort of do what's needed, the ability to consistently get there, make the big plays, the fact that, you know, Mahomes plays against so many great quarterbacks right now. Brady had Hall of Famers all over the place during his career, right? Whether it's Manning or Roethlisberger or Rodgers, who's going to get there, or Philip Rivers, who's probably going to get there. All these great quarterbacks, like, they're so similar, these paths. And we just never thought we'd see it again after we saw Brady. And we literally haven't never got a break from it. It went from Brady to Mahomes in an almost literal sense, right? They played each other in an AFC championship, and they played each other in a Super Bowl. But Mahomes has this chance that Brady never got to three-peat, right? Brady never did that. And so if you're looking at this from Mahomes' perspective, one of the things, if when the dust settles, that GOAT status that Brady has, one of the things Mahomes potentially, when that conversation ultimately happens, to put in his column now is, I got three in a row, which nobody's ever done. And so it'll be fascinating. I can't wait to see Brady on the call of this happening, because yeah, Brady's the ultimate competitor. Yeah. You know, in his heart, Brady doesn't want him to get that right. Third Super Bowl in a row. Like, he'll put that to the side and be a professional and all that stuff. But that's a really cool angle to this, to have Brady on the call of Mahomes trying to do the thing that Brady could never do.
On top of that, too, I mean, you know, everybody's going to focus on the three-peat in the context of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and, you know, but Andy Reid, it's sure wild to me just the way that his career arc has gone, you know, and the knocks on him for so long when he was in Philadelphia. And then, of course, he beats Philly for a Super Bowl, and then he's got an opportunity to beat him again to solidify three in a row. And
sure, you know, helps to have a great quarterback.
It 100% does. But man, he called a phenomenal game yesterday.
He was on one last
night. He 1,000% did. And I know Spagnuolo called a great game defensively. There have been several times, even this season, where I've been like, Andy Reid, what are you doing? Like, you're driving me crazy with some of these play calls and the way that you're abandoning the run and like all of these different things. He called a great game yesterday. Just the way that they utilized the run game. I've been saying it for a while. I felt like Kareem Hunt should be the lead back, at least for the remainder of this season. They leaned on him as the lead back yesterday, and it paid off. You know, they utilized Xavier Worthy in a phenomenal way. Some of those play calls, by the way, where they're not lighting the world on fire as far as like reinventing the wheel with the play calls. It's literally just Worthy on a slant. Just Worthy on a slant across the field and his speed, and nobody in the Bills secondary could keep up with him. And that was huge. Yeah. And like utilizing that was huge. And so, I mean, hat tip to Andy Reid. I thought he called a great game yesterday.
It was huge with Worthy, and it was somewhat predictable, which is why I think we liked Worthy, right? Like, you can't, if you're the Bills, you just can't let Kelce do what he did in the first game. And who's going to be the main beneficiary of that's going to be Worthy, right? Because in single cup, they've found a way now, like if teams don't focus on him, for him to get open. And, you know, I don't know that I think he's the same runner with the football that Rashee Rice is, but he has done so much to become what Rice was in the sense of getting open, right? Like getting open and utilizing that speed and all his abilities. So he's been really good. Kareem Hunt is running at a higher clip than he's run all season as far as explosiveness, which, you know, great timing, right? And that's fantastic to see. They have both of them. You feel good about it. And yeah, you talk about that game plan. The Chiefs ran the ball a ton. Like they a ton. Did. So they did the Bills.
Yeah.
Both of the teams ran the ball a lot. Like we assumed that they'd want to, and you still had a 32-29 game. That was a little surprising to me, quite honestly, that the score got as high as it did with both teams running the ball that way, because they did. They both wanted to, and they both did run the ball at a heavy clip. I didn't have Juju Smith-Schuster as the big play guy in the game, but there you go. DeAndre Hopkins, DeAndre Hopkins at some point is going to make a big play. Like they have so many weapons now, and it's you have to put to the side what we saw for about 80% of the regular season, because what the Chiefs are now just through health is not the same as they were for most of the season. Now they get 2 weeks to prepare with all of that, just like they had all that time before, right before the first playoff game that they played. They will have had, you talk about that stretch, Tommy, of 3 weeks or whatever it was, and the rust is a factor, but that's enough time for this team and Andy Reid to implement an entirely new offense. Like you could basically say, you've got nothing on tape for us because we just changed everything that we do. They've got another 2 weeks here with all the people that they have. They can do the same kind of thing.
That was like, my point with the Patrick Mahomes designed runs last night. Like how we haven't really seen that lately, and they did it, and they did it well.
How, when you're Buffalo, do you plan for Juju Smith-Schuster being the big play guy?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and so now against Philadelphia, and this is not to tip my hand, but I'll be picking the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. But like Philadelphia isn't going to change what they do. You're going to have to stop them at what they do.
Easier
They're
said than
going
done.
Totally. That's the thing with that. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying the difference in, you know, in how you approach it is Philadelphia's got to come in and say, we want to do what we do in this game, which is start with Saquon Barkley, and which is utilize our insanely talented top three passing threats and have Jalen Hurts, quite frankly, and we'll get into that game in a little bit, play the best game of his season like he did against the Commanders there. But for the Chiefs, and this is like, there's no telling what they'll do. Maybe they'll throw the ball 50 times. Maybe they'll throw the ball 30 times. Maybe they'll feature Travis Kelce. Maybe they'll feature Xavier Worthy. But you got to look out for the fifth wide receiver on the depth chart being the big play guy in all of that. DeAndre Hopkins exists somewhere, and we know has a great rapport with Mahomes. Like that's what's so interesting. And we haven't seen this. This is new for the Chiefs. They've never had anything like this in their run. Like their early years, it was you better stop Tyreek Hill and Kelce, and then everything and nothing else matters, right? Last year, it was we'll pepper Rashee Rice with 46 targets a game and see if you can't stop it. That's not the case this year. This is different. They've got time. They've got health on their side for the first time, and they have now because of the bad health, quite frankly and quite honestly. Like, if they don't have all the injuries, they don't have D-Hop, they don't have Kareem Hunt,
right?
They don't have all these players, they don't have Juju. Now they have all these pieces there, and they get all this time to tinker with it. That's what you fear if you're the Eagles. Like, what are you going to do? Now, on the flip side of that, Tommy, the Eagles have a great pass rush, and they get it up the middle. That's the danger. We've seen how many times in a Super Bowl or big games have we seen what pass rush up the middle? The Chiefs have made a living off of it with Chris Jones. The ultimate game plan disruptor is pressure up the middle. So this will be really interesting to break down.
You know what? Yeah, and I know that the Eagles have a better pass rush than the Bills did yesterday, no doubt. But I thought it was encouraging that we weren't talking about the offensive line during the Chiefs game yesterday,
absolutely
right?
Not.
Like that, and that's the way that it should be. If we're being truly honest, if we don't talk about those guys, if we don't bring them up, usually they're going to be brought up in a negative connotation. They weren't talked about at all yesterday. I thought that was partially game plan, but partially, I feel like they're starting to settle in a little bit. Do I love Joe Tooney playing left tackle? No, I'd rather him be in the interior. I'd rather him go back to left guard. But that, I don't think that's the reality. And I don't think you can change that for the Super Bowl, even knowing that the Eagles can get up the middle, even knowing that they're good at that sort of thing. I think you have to just roll with what you've been able to do recently, because it has worked and it's been okay. It's been better than what it had been. I think, it's going to be easier said than done. But that's a nice development for sure.
There's just so much. We got 2 weeks to do it, and we'll do it. Chiefs fans partying hard today. We're going to talk about that NFC Championship game when we come back. We'll get to it all today. It's going to be fun. Stick with us. It's all Brockton Caster on a Monday. Chiefs Celebration Monday. Don't go away.
Commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily. You want to win some HTO? You can do that right now. A text to win contest. You can enter by texting the keyword T to the short code 20357. That'll get you a free iced tea, more than 20 flavors, including the all new root beer. Get you a free iced or hot coffee. You can get one of each at the Wichita East, West, or Derby location. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. Eagles, Commanders, Tommy, what a game that was. And the Eagles, I think what we saw as much as anything, at least for me, is the Eagles roster is way better in totality than the Commanders. Commanders have some great players. They've got magic, I think, in the culture there, and a great young quarterback. Sort of reminded me, honestly, of the first year of Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, they did these things that probably people didn't totally expect, and they went up against a juggernaut in the Patriots, but that's kind of what it felt like. But the Eagles, I think, as much as anything else in that game, remind us that they may have top to bottom the most talented roster in football. And what they did with their rookie class and how they turned that defense around is unbelievable. This is going to be that they looked really good yesterday.
They really did. Saquon, I think, looked amazing. And that's hard to stop for the Eagles. Going back to your point about the Commanders, though, I said it during our picks on Friday that I think that Jaden Daniels and the Commanders will play in a Super Bowl at some point.
Oh, sure.
It wasn't going to be this year. I mean, like, they're nobody expected them to get to this point, but just the ascension in year number one for Jaden Daniels is phenomenal. I think it's what a lot of people expected we would see from Caleb Williams in year number one, but we got it with Daniels. But there were a lot of other pieces that came to play. You were able to plug Jaden Daniels in to an organization that already had guys like Terry McLaurin and Zach Ertz. you know, who I think will probably be a Hall of Famer when his career is all said and done. So that helps a lot. And you've got a great coach in Dan Quinn and an awesome offensive coordinator in Cliff Kingsbury on that entire organization. So I think they're going to get there. I think this is the start of something big for the Commanders. I think they'll be a force to be reckoned with for years to come in that division and in that conference for sure. The Eagles have so much firepower. They really do. And it starts with Saquon. That was the missing piece for the Eagles for sure, because when you compliment him with Jalen Hurts and then, oh, by the way, throw in A.J. Brown, you know, throw in Dallas Goedert, throw in Devontae Smith, like they've got a lot of weapons. And they showed that. They flexed on the Commanders yesterday.
They did. Jalen Hurts had a long run called back. His knee looks fine. You know, he almost had a four rushing touchdown, 50 yard kind of game. Like,
my long shot bet almost hit.
It did.
Washington was one rushing touchdown away from my every team playing yesterday getting two rushing touchdowns or more. That almost hit.
It almost hit. The Commanders couldn't come through for you on that. It was a really impressive performance by the Eagles on both sides of the ball. I think that's the danger when you talk about the Chiefs. Like, they may be the most complete top to bottom team. Now, I don't know that I would say their offense is as versatile as the Chiefs, and that's going to be a challenge for that defense. But man, they flat loaded up on defense. And this, it was just one of the better off seasons we have ever seen a front office have, in what they did to bring in so much talent and Vic Fangio to make that defense as good as it was. You gave me a hard time earlier in the season when I picked the Eagles, but the reason I picked them wasn't even that I thought the defense was going to end up being this. I thought the defense was going to be good, but it was more based on like Barkley Hurts, right? Like trying to stop the Barkley Hurts, minimizing mistakes. It's easier to not make mistakes when you have Saquon Barkley there and you can lean into that. This defense has been a revelation. I'm not sure anybody saw this level of defense getting there. I mean, how could you? With a couple of rookies back there at corner, another rookie in the running for defensive player of the year. Like, how could you see that coming? But it's here. It's here. And now they've got a chance to go get their revenge against the Chiefs, and this is going to be very likely, just like it was last time, just like the Buffalo game, just like all these Chiefs Super Bowls, in the fact that it's going to come down to who makes a couple of big plays in the game in different spots. And that's where you always lean into Mahomes, of course, and Kelce and those guys. But it should be good. That was a really impressive performance by the Eagles. And yeah, the Commanders will probably get there. You never know. They'll probably get there. But if you're going talent to talent on roster, not even close. Commanders and Eagles.
You know what? It was interesting going into both games yesterday. I had this mentality. I had this thought that it didn't really matter who won in the NFC Championship game, because I felt like either the Chiefs or the Bills would beat either one of those other teams in the NFC going into the game, going into both of them. Like yesterday morning before kickoff, I'm like, Bills Chiefs, like that's kind of the Super Bowl, and whoever wins that game will probably win the Super Bowl against either the Eagles or the Commanders. Then the Eagles put 55 on the Commanders. I'm like, okay, like it's going to be a heavyweight bout, you know, here in a couple of weeks in New Orleans. And that was impressive. I mean, the margin of victory was impressive. The way that Philadelphia was able to keep Washington at arm's length when the Commanders, they started to come back. They had a couple of different moments where they stayed in the game. And then late, Philly just, again, they flexed. They flexed on the ground. And even going all the way back to the very first offensive play from scrimmage when Saquon was off for a touchdown was outstanding. It's going to be a challenge, you know, for the Chiefs to do what they've done. This has been a focal point and a positive in all of their, most of their games this year defensively, is being able to stop the run. But then you've got Saquon. Like, stopping Saquon, that's nearly impossible.
And it's not just that. Romo was all over this all game long yesterday. Like, the Bills must just keep giving the ball to James Cook. And they did in the second half. And the Chiefs, I mean, it gave the Chiefs trouble. And so if the Bills with Josh Allen and James Cook could do what they did, which they did get themselves sort of back under control that way, what's going to happen when it's Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley, and Jalen Hurts with another couple of weeks to rest. And I would argue too, Jalen Hurts is nowhere near the passer, the thrower that Josh Allen is, but he does have AJ Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert out there, right? He's got better weapons, I would argue, than Josh Allen does catching those passes. So it will be a huge challenge for the Kansas City defense. How do you, can you afford to sell out to stop Barkley with those receivers Philly has, or do you just trust your base run defense, which has been really good most of the year, to get the job done? But we saw Buffalo find a lot of success on the ground late in the game yesterday. So we'll have a ton of time to talk about that. But at the core of it, the Eagles are, I mean, that's the best of the Eagles, basically what we saw against the Commanders. I will say this too. The Chiefs defense is, I mean, galaxies better than the Commanders, in my opinion. So yes, we saw the Eagles score 55. Yes, they kind of pushed them around a little bit. But if you're an Eagles fan, don't walk into the Super Bowl thinking you're playing the Commanders defense again. Does that make sense? You're not. Chiefs are a way better defense than Washington. So it goes both ways, right? Like there are two sides to that. And again, I'll pick the Chiefs. I'll pick the Chiefs. I'll pick Patrick Mahomes over Jalen Hurts. It's pretty simple for me. They are loaded. And Saquon Barkley is out of his mind.
I was trying to think, has there been a better running back season? Like, have we witnessed something like this? I'm maybe going back to like an Adrian Peterson MVP, season, or even Barry Sanders, like going that far back. I mean, there probably has been, but I mean, from the regular season all the way through the playoffs, where it's just being consistent week in and week out with Barkley, I don't know if we've seen a running back performance quite at this level before.
Well, we got to be a little bit careful and not throw shade at Christian McCaffrey, who probably should have been the MVP last year too, but in a different way than Saquon. Obviously McCaffrey does it in a different way.
Should Saquon be the MVP this year? Right? Like, it's already done, but the two front runners are
because it's a regular season award. And that's what's so dumb, right? Yeah. Like if it was a full season award, yes, he should be.
Yeah.
Because it's a regular season award. I mean, again, like in the regular season, Lamar Jackson's numbers are just the most ridiculous numbers we've ever seen from a quarterback. The problem is it's a regular season award. Saquon would be if you took the full year. He's had that kind of impact. And look, the knock on Saquon historically as he's been boom or bust. He's been a boom or bust runner. He has a lot of carries that don't do much, and then he'll break a couple off. That's not the way you get to a dominant ground game, and that's sort of been the knock on him. Well, he played for the Giants, right? And people could sell out to stop him. Even if you took away that first run yesterday, that 60-yarder, if you took it away and took the rest of his average and understand that they didn't have to use him in the way that they might normally in a game against the Chiefs, he still averaged over 4 yards carry. So he was efficient. He was effective, like all those things. So that knock that had been on him in New York, right, that it's like 1 yard carry, 2 yard carry, 1 yard carry, 50 yard carry, that's kind of gone. Like he's been far better consistently this year than ever before. And there's Jalen Hurts there unlocked. I think Jalen Hurts showed us yesterday that he's still like he's healthy enough to do that. And he will against the Chiefs. They are going to. The Chiefs' run defense will be tested like it hasn't been tested all year long. Like the Eagles can absolutely control this game if they get things going, and that'll be one of the great storylines of this Super Bowl. I mean, it is a great matchup. These are the two best teams in their leagues, especially when you can if we just push everything else to the side, Tommy, and say who are the healthy, right? Healthy, who are the two best teams in each conference? These would be the two bet. These would be the teams most people picked. Maybe you take the Lions if I told you everybody's healthy. Maybe, but if you knew everybody was healthy, these are probably the two teams that you would take.
Yeah, I certainly didn't think going into this season with the acquisition of Saquon Barkley that it would be that much of a difference maker for the Eagles. I thought it would be. I thought they would be improved. I think that there was a part of me that thought, okay, well, this will be you know, enough to at least make them a contender again. But I certainly didn't think that we would see like this resurgence from him to a point to where, like you mentioned, the consistency was there, where you're adding him into an already pretty loaded offense. And the game plan has been able to dictate most of the season that you can feature him, but then you can also use him as a decoy at times when you've got Jalen Hurts to run the football and to be able to get it to some of those high quality receivers. So all in all, I mean, I'll admit, I underestimated just the overall impact of what his addition brought to this team. They wouldn't be in the Super Bowl if they hadn't acquired him. It would have been the Eagles that we saw a year ago. They would have been a good team. They would have been a playoff
team. I think their defense is what is like their defense this year has been the best in football.
You're right. But from an offensive point of view, it provides an extra layer, an extra wrinkle that they didn't have before where don't get me wrong, I think they still would have been a playoff team for sure. But I think we would have seen the Eagles team, you know, from a year ago where they sort of collapsed down the stretch, probably a little bit more this year had they not acquired Barkley.
Barkley hides Jalen Hurts' deficiencies as a thrower. I mean, that's what he does, and that's why he's so perfect for them. Hurts is amazing at the things he does. Relying on him to throw it 40, 50 times a game is not what he does. And so it was this grand combination. Like, if the defense wasn't good, and they had one of the worst pass defenses in football last year, and you were making Hurts try to be that dude, that's not Hurts. That's not him at all. This is where Hurts is absolutely lethal in a scenario like they have now. And you've gone and essentially added four Pro Bowlers to the defense and Vic Fangio, the coordinator, who's been one of the best at what he does throughout his whole career, head coaching resume set to the side. Like, that's they're there. And, you know, I think there are still plenty of people that think Sirianni is, you know, just sort of riding the wave. He's got a chance to say a lot in this game. I'll tell you this, most of the conversations are going to be about what these offenses are going to be capable of. It feels very much like which defense steps up and makes two or three critical plays in this game, probably determining it. But it's the right matchup. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be wild. It'll be within 2 points, I think, on the line, and it'll probably move around a little bit. The Chiefs are going to get tested. It's going to be great. I don't know whether I think Philadelphia or Buffalo is better. I'm not sure. I think they're both really good. I think they were both the two next best teams. So we'll see. But it'll be a great test for the Chiefs. We're fortunate here to have this run to talk about every day. It's wild to be able to have this for this long. I just can't. It's crazy. It's crazy. Because, and I said it earlier, like, you just never thought you'd see this again after Brady. And we just didn't have any gap there. Didn't have any gap. It just keeps happening. Great quarterback play in this league. And, it's wild.
By the way, Patrick Mahomes is only 29. You know, like, yeah. and you never want to take anything for granted. You never know what the future is going to hold. But, like, you can appreciate the greatness while it's happening. And I think all of Chiefs Kingdom does. But I know I at least am thinking, okay, like, even as things change, like, Travis Kelce isn't going to play forever. Andy Reid probably isn't going to coach forever. There's still a pretty sizable window left as far as contention for Kansas City to get more Super Bowls because of number 15, because of who the guy is under center. Sure. And every time he's out there, he gives you a shot just because of his unwavering willingness to just like put the team on his shoulders. Like, I'm going to take this team and I'm going to get a win. I'm going to make the plays, whether it's to extend a drive or whatever. Like, he's going to do that. And that greatness, I mean, yeah, like, you appreciate it when you're in it. I'm also excited about what that means, you know, what that's going to look like years from now.
Well, I am too, but he's not going to have Kelce forever. He's not going to have Jones forever. He's not going to have Andy Reid forever. I don't think on Reid. That cast that's helped do this, those guys, it's been wild. No, by the way, Harrison Butker's back and hit key playoff field goals again. Surprise to nobody. We tell you all the time about Crestview. So got a quick report. We did finally get to our golf simulator on Crestview at Crestview on Saturday. It was great. That thing is impressive and crazy. But what was even more fun is we're sitting there on the simulator. We can order food. We're having beers. We're watching K-State on one TV. We're watching KU on the other TV. It's a great night. So, you know, we talk about it. It's the first time I've utilized some of those since we've been over at Crestview. They're great supporters of the program. Tom and I are both there. The full report on that was a great night. So even, you know, out of season, we had a blast. It really, like, again, like, you don't have to do all the crazy stuff with it. There are smaller membership things for them where you can just do stuff like that. So quick report back. It was good. I don't remember who won the golf simulator, Tommy. I don't recall.
I think I did. I believe I won.
I don't remember. I don't remember. I must have had too many beers because I just don't. It just slipped my mind. Whatever that was, I just can't recall. But it was a great time. So thanks to Crestview for supporting us. Give them a call. Check out those facilities. You'll see what we're talking about. We got a Super Bowl here. It's here. We're 2 weeks away now from history, the three-peat. I'm glad we got 2 weeks to get it all done because there's a lot to cram in with it. We're going to take a quick break. We'll talk a little baseball when we come back. Jalen Thompson joins us, our Royals insider. We'll return on Sports Daily.
Going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And welcome back. Hey, if you're on your way into work, want to keep listening to Sports Daily interviews like this, if you ever miss them, you can get them whenever you want. After you get out of the car with the Odyssey app, odyssey.com, you can download the app, visit odyssey.com, search for KFH, get started today, and you'll find the podcasted form of an interview with Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider. Welcome in, Jalen. Now, listen, I got to ask you a question here. I go to your handle earlier, and a bunch of balloons fly at me on X. So happy birthday, I assume, Jalen.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it. I turned 30 today, and this it's a little scary to say that number, but, you know, it's all fun, and I'm happy to see the day.
Hey, you and Patrick Mahomes, right? Patrick Mahomes is getting it done just fine at your age. I think you'll be just fine. The Royals, not a lot of noise here, Jalen, so we're just kind of chugging along. It's been a wild offseason. What do you think it's like when you're somebody in an organization like the Royals, a front office like the Royals, and you see what the Dodgers are doing? Other teams have done this over the years, but like, it's just such a strange phenomenon in baseball that it's like, it's almost like teams are playing two different sports here. What do you think that's it like is. For them?
Yeah. And I think when you look at it, the Royals, they have to know where they are. They know that they are in a small market and a lot of their development has to come from within. So, you know, minor leaguers developing, signing, and hoping they produce at the big leagues. Sometimes it works, like you see with Bobby Witt Jr. Other times, it might not. But when you look at what the Dodgers are doing in L.A., it just shows the power of money and having a pretty much unlimited supply, it seems like in their case, going to getting any type of player that you kind of want and sign them to a team. I think that that's just the playing field that MLB has right now, and I don't know if there's going to be regulation or anything like that that could come forth from it in the future, but I mean, the Dodgers are playing within the rules of the game, and you got to give it to them for that.
Jalen, I wonder, you know, as we are getting closer and closer to pitchers and catchers reporting and spring training right around the corner, the free agent market, generally speaking, I feel like is late developing. I mean, obviously there have been some major moves, but there are still a lot of players that remain out there, you know, that are available. Do you see the Royals, you know, at this point, at the very end of January, making any additional moves, or are they basically set, do you feel like, with who they have?
I think with it being so close to February and pitchers and catchers reporting on the 11th and really just be, no 12th, I'm sorry, February 12th pitchers and catchers report, but to see where the team is right now, there could be maybe a minor move or two if it comes about. But I think, like you said, I think they're probably content on what they have going into spring training. Now, when spring training gets here, a player could fall out of a rotation or something could happen and players could latch on. So that's always a possibility for the Royals to jump in and make a signing. But I thought when you saw Anthony Santander sign with the Blue Jays and you saw Jerickson Profar sign with the Braves, I mean, both of those players were like potential fits that could have worked for the Royals. But in Profar's case, he said he wanted to be a Padre or he wanted to be a Brave, and he chose to be with the Braves. So, I mean, a lot of that, too, has to be on the player. Like, what does the player want to do? The Royals can be interested in signing a multitude of players, but the players have to be receptive to come into Kansas City as well. So I think that before we get to spring training and how that starts up, I think the Royals will probably be content with what they have. And then when they are in spring training, if there's a guy that comes up, like I mentioned last time, like John Schreiber was available, they went and got him during spring training, and he was a big part of the team. So it's still not over yet, but I think for right now, the Royals are probably looking like, let's just take what we have into spring training and see what we can do.
I mean, where would you still, like, if an injury is one thing. Kenley Jansen is out there, could be handy for them, I suppose. There are quite a few starting pitchers out there. If you had to guess where they may still want to attack, where would you guess? Is it bullpen, or do you think they still, I guess the more important question is, are they comfortable with the outfield the way it currently stands?
Yeah, I think they still would like to, like I said, add that bat to the outfield, but it just hasn't materialized yet. So when you look at how they're going to fill that spot, maybe it might be someone where they stick with MJ Melendez, and then you might throw out a Jonathan India or Michael Massey at times in left field, just to get it started and then kind of see where they are. I think a lot of that's going to be determined in spring training. Like, if they come to spring training and MJ Melendez looks like he's improved, I saw videos where he kind of was working on his batting stance a little bit, and if that helps him at the plate, is that you might be okay with him starting the season out
there. I think you are. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just depends. I think reliever might be the easiest one to kind of fix if you want to add something else to the team, because like you could always get a veteran reliever, but that outfield spot, that's going to be something that is probably going to be a question mark going into the season.
Do you think that, I know that there are a couple of, you know, really high profile minor leaguers in the farm system for the Royals, and you know, some of these prized guys that they've been able to bring in, whether we're talking about Caglione or Mitchell, you know, some other guys like that. Do you see any of those guys making a major impact or even an impact at all with the big league team anytime soon? Or, you know, is it something where they still need some more time to develop in the minors?
Yeah, I think the big three of Blake Mitchell, Carter Jensen, Jack Caglione, everyone kind of wants to see what they're going to do this year, because I believe that if they continue to hit throughout the minor leagues, I think the Royals will continue to maybe accelerate their push up the levels, like maybe getting to AA and possibly AAA this year. But I don't see them potentially being a major impact on the major league roster, not just this year. Now, 2026, that's a different story. But for this year, I think the Royals are content at both of those positions where they play at catcher and first base, that you might not see them make a huge imprint. But who knows? Barring injury, anything could happen. But for right now, I think they're going to shine the most in the minor leagues.
So as you look at things right now with the rest of the division, Jalen, knowing what has come back and what's out there, should we go into this season thinking, hey, this is the Royals division to win? Because I kind of think we should be.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. And I think the Royals would want to view it the same way, because when you look at what they did last year, they were totally ahead of schedule. Like, we can't just forget they lost 106 games in 2023. You make a 30-win improvement in 2024. If you make a similar improvement, or even if you make a 5-game improvement from what you did last year, now you're talking like you're at 91 victories.
And but isn't that fool's gold a little bit? Like, isn't there, like, you can't expect that again. I think that's why I asked that question. Like, But the reality is, like, the Twins have now famously done literally nothing this offseason.
Yeah.
The Guardians, I think, are expected to not be quite as good, although they would be the ones to. But the Tigers are, you know, the Tigers are sort of on that same ascension that the Royals are on. I just, like, I'm trying to gauge, like, how excited, but I'm with you. Like, I think the expectation should be to win the division, but we know, like, the improvement last year was, we don't see improvements like that. Is it sustainable? Yeah. Like, I think it is.
I think so, and I'll say for two reasons. The pitching rotation, starting pitching rotation, is going to be bad. You look at what Cole Reagans has done since he's been a Kansas City Royal. He's been consistent. Seth Lugo is one of the most consistent pitchers out there. Same with Michael Wacha. And then Michael Lorenzen, he showed you something last year. If he can continue that again, he's just a great veteran number four. So you have four guys that are really strong at what they do. And I think starting pitching is going to carry the Royals. And I think people really haven't seen the impact of what Jonathan India is going to provide for his team. I think him being that leadoff hitter and constantly getting on base and ahead of Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny Pasquantino and Salvador Perez, that's going to open up the lineup where instead of winning games, like I said before, 4-3, you might win games now 6-2. Or 7-3 or something like that, because you have extra runs at your disposal. So I think it's fair to say that the Royals are a favorite to win the American League Central. But like you said, they have to prove it on the field. And last year they were extremely healthy, and that might not be the case this year. So I think there is a reason to have pause on the other side of that.
Jalen, we appreciate it. Happy birthday again. You can follow Jalen on X at Jalen Thompson. Royals, we're going to be in spring training mode real fast, mm-hmm. and we cannot wait to have you with us here to walk us through some of the ins and outs of the organization. You can find his work at the Kansas City Star. Enjoy it, Jalen. 30s are the best.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Here goes Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider. Lots of good stuff there. If you missed any of it, go back and listen on the Odyssey app. It'll be really, really nice to have him through the season with us here. Looking forward to that. Yeah, I think it's fair to say, Tommy, Royals should win the division this year. I mean, I don't know how realistic it is, but I think it's a fair expectation.
I'd love to see them get another bat. Like, if they could get another bat in that lineup, I would feel a lot more comfortable saying that. But no, I do think that those expectations, should be there just based on what we saw a year ago.
Yeah. But why not? Right? Why not? It's there. I mean, it's theirs. It's theirs. If you missed anything today, we've been talking a lot of football, a lot of Super Bowl preview, a lot of looking back. We mentioned this off the top. I 4 out of the last 5 years, the Chiefs have knocked the Bills out of the playoffs. That sucks for Bills fans. That's brutal. They've been here before. They've lived this before. That's just brutal. Brutal. And what do you even, like, if you're the Bills and you look back at that game yesterday, like, what do you even shake your head at?
Yeah.
They played well.
Yeah, they did. They did. I mean, they genuinely did. There were some moments where, you know, I'm sure that they would like to have some things back. Even early on in the game, I felt like Josh Allen was a little amped up. Some of his passes were kind of sailing on him a little bit. You know, I think the adrenaline was there for sure, that I'm sure he would have liked to have some of those back. But generally speaking, man, like, they did what they needed to do. I mean, I think I read that, that one of the few teams to have 4 or more touchdowns in a game, no turnovers, and lose the game, you know, in the playoffs. Like, that doesn't happen, but it happens against the Chiefs.
It happened. Like, yeah, that's like, and that's, God, that's the part where you're Josh Allen and you just sit there and you're like, this is so stupid. This is so stupid. We went in there, we played our game, we established the run, we did everything we needed to do, and we still didn't win that game. How does that even happen? Like, they made their field goals. Like, there wasn't anything other than the last Kincaid Hail Mary non-catch, which would have been a great play. Should have been a great play. But, you know, that's not one I think you look back and be like, that's the reason we lost the game. It's crazy. Like, life sucks for Bills fans right now. I feel for them, man. That is just absolutely brutal. they've been there before. Three straight Super Bowls, lose all three. Now you're in this, like, you're living this nightmare. Like, God, I will say this. Of all the teams out there right now, like, they have, to me, the most staying power. And the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs do, too. But I do feel bad for the Bills. Chiefs fans don't. They're like, whatever. Suck it up, Bills fans. All right, we'll come back. We'll have our final segment here on Sports Daily. Don't go away.